Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. In our Wednesday night service, we have a memory verse for each month. And for the month of August, is this August? For the month of August, our memory verse is Ephesians 2:10, and it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That verse is directed specifically to Christian people, and it tells us that especially after we are saved, we are crafted by God, designed by God to do good works. Now, we all know that we're supposed to do good works. We got that. Matter of fact, sometimes we think that we have to do good works to be saved. But this verse comes right after the verses that tell us by grace you're saved through faith, that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So because we are saved, we should do good works. Now, what I'm about to tell you and what I'm about to ask you may not sound very spiritual, so you bear with me for just a minute. You may want to fire me after I'm done. Don't you ever get tired of doing good works, doing Christian things? I don't remember when it was, back when I was in junior high or high school sometime, I can't remember exactly, but I started getting up early every morning to read my Bible and pray. I'm still doing it. And I'm going to confess to you that my alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning. And sometimes when that thing goes off, I don't want to read my Bible and I don't want to pray. I just want to sleep. There are some people on my prayer list who have been on my prayer list, honestly, for longer than I can remember. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to confess to you this morning, sometimes I get tired of praying for them. Sometimes I want to say, and I probably have said, "Lord, I've been praying for old so-and-so, he or she, whoever they are, for so many years, and you know what? Nothing's happened, nothing's changed, and I'm just tired of praying for them." I know that's not very spiritual. I understand that. But isn't that the truth? Don't you feel that way sometimes? I don't think I'm the only one. Don't sometimes you just get tired? Don't you sometimes get tired of coming to church every Sunday morning? Every Sunday night? Well, some of you don't get tired of that. Every Wednesday night? There have been a couple of times I get home on Wednesdays and I sit down in my recliner and I relax a little bit, and it comes time to go to church, and I've asked Cher a couple of times, I said, "Honey, you think anybody'd notice if I didn't go?" Preachers aren't supposed to say that, are they? Preachers aren't supposed to be. We're supposed to be spiritual giants. Well, I got news for you. We're just like everybody else. Sometimes it's just physical. You're just physically tired. And because you're physically tired, you just don't want to do anything, good, bad, or otherwise. I just don't want to do it. I'm just physically tired. Sometimes it's the monotony. You know, it's just the same thing over and over. It's the routine. We're comfortable with routine, but sometimes we get tired of it. Well, you know that we have the same procedure every Sunday morning. We have the same procedure every Sunday night. We have the same procedure. I'm just so tired of it, I don't think I'm going to go. I just like to do something different, something new. Well, me too. You got any suggestions, let me know. Sometimes it's the struggle. Sometimes it's a struggle to do good works. Other people don't want you to do it. Sometimes we don't want to do it, but God calls us to do it, and you just get weary from the struggle. Sometimes it's pain. Physical pain can wear you out. Physical pain makes you weary. Physical pain makes you want to just stay home. I've experienced it. You've all experienced it. Sometimes it's emotional pain. You know, you go through the loss of spouse or a child or a grandchild or the loss of a friend or something else, the loss of a job or whatever it might be, and there's emotional pain, and in your pain you just, I just don't want to do it. All of these things make us weary. The last two that I'm going to mention may be the most prevalent for Christians. Lack of results. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I couldn't have done what Noah did. He preached for 120 years and didn't have one single convert. No results. He had to have gotten tired. He had to have gotten weary. There had to have been moments when he said, "Lord, could I just quit? Nobody's listening, nobody cares, nobody's responding." Don't you feel that way sometimes? I do. Sometimes it's the fact that you feel like you're all alone. You're the only one doing anything to serve the Lord. Now, we get that way, don't. Now, don't shake your head and say, "No, not me, Pastor." We all do it. Well, I've been teaching that Sunday school class for this many years, or I've been helping with that, doing that funeral dinner for this many years, or I've been cleaning the church, or I've been witnessing, or I've been doing this, or I've been the secretary. I've done this. Nobody else is doing anything. If I left, that church would fall apart. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Elijah, and he felt like he was the only person in his entire nation of people who was serving the Lord. And he got weary. Now, he shouldn't have been this way. As a matter of fact, when this happens, when chapter 19 of 1 Kings happens, it's right after chapter 18. Boy, isn't that amazing? You've learned something today, haven't you? In chapter 18, Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal to a showdown on Mount Carmel. You know the story. He said, "All you prophets of Baal, 450 of you guys, you come and we'll both build an altar. You build an altar to Baal and I'll build an altar of God. Just me, I'm the only one, and I'll build an altar to God. And we'll put a sacrifice on both altars. And whichever God answers by fire, he is the one true living God, and let's all serve and worship him." And they said, "Okay, we'll do it." So they got up there and the prophets of Baal built their altar and they put their sacrifice on there. And the Bible says that they prayed and they wailed and they cut themselves and they carried on trying to get Baal's attention, and they couldn't do it. You know why they couldn't do it? Because he's not real. False gods are false gods. They're not real. Baal was not real. So he didn't answer by fire. Hard for something to answer by fire that doesn't exist. Elijah put his sacrifice on the altar to God. There had been a drought for 3.5 years. You remember that? And he poured a bunch of water on it from the ocean, poured a bunch of water on it and stuff, and dug a trench around it and filled the trench with water. And the Bible says that fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water, even the dust that was around it. God is God. He is real. And then the Bible says that Elijah got the people and they got those 450 prophets of Baal and they killed every single one of them. Great. It was a great victory for God and a great victory for Elijah. He should have been on a spiritual cloud 9. And he probably was. And then out of wicked Jezebel, she was the king's queen. She sent word to Elijah and she said, "Before tomorrow at this time, you're going to be a dead man. I'm going to kill you." He went from the mountaintop to the valley just like that. And the trip made him weary. And he fled. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 19. It's 18 verses, but you stay with me, all right? Ahab, he was the king. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, the prophets of Baal. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah and said, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Within 24 hours you're going to be dead." That's what she said. And when he, Elijah, saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. and left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Elijah's having himself a good old pity party now. And he said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have broken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Oh, I feel so sorry for you, Elijah. Bless your little heart. Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." I want us to notice this morning how God responded to Elijah. Because God is the same. And he will respond to us when we act like Elijah did. He'll respond to us the same way he responded to Elijah. And the first thing that I noticed was God's grace. Elijah fled from Mount Carmel. He fled from the people there around that area. He left his servant behind so that he was all alone. Intentionally, on purpose, he was all alone. And then he went out, and I mentioned he just had himself a good old pity party. He talked about what a great Christian he was. "I'm the only one. I'm super saint." He talked about how wicked the people of Israel were. They've broken God's commandments. He said, "Why, they've even killed your prophets." And then he said, "I'm the only one that's left." And he just said, "God, I'm just tired. Would you just kill me now?" That's what he said. "Now, Lord, kill me. I just can't do it anymore. I just can't work anymore. I'm just worn out. Just kill me now and take me to heaven." God certainly should have, or could have, I guess I should say, God could have scolded Elijah. But something wonderful happened. Look at verses 5 through 7. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree..." He had had such a pity party that wore him out, and he went to sleep. "That as he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again," went back to sleep. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Don't you love those two verses? I love it. God could have grabbed him by the collar and shook him and said, would you please quit acting like a spoiled brat and get up and get busy? That's what we'd have done, right? I saw just this past week, I saw on the news, some kid, some young guy, 17, 18, 19, his dad bought him a BMW. And he drove it in the river because he wanted a Jaguar. God has blessed us with salvation. He has forgiven us of all of our sins. He has redeemed us from the condemnation of eternal death in hell and given us eternal life in heaven, and we run it in the river because we want money. I want power. I want fame. I want something. That's not what I wanted. God, I want something else. I'm just going to go pout. But instead of scolding Elijah, God fed Elijah. He didn't even have to cook it. He woke up from sleep and it was already done. Already ready. A cake baking on the fire and a cruse of water at his head. And he ate and he drank. Don't you love the grace of God? How many times could God have scolded me and scolded you for our crankiness and our pettiness and our unwillingness to work and our unthankfulness? But instead, He feeds us and He strengthens us and He helps us. That's grace. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. Elijah didn't deserve to be fed, to be strengthened, but that's what God did. That's God's grace. The next thing that happened was God's question. In verse 9, the Bible says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing out here? In verse 13, God asked him the same question, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Listen, God didn't need information. He knew what Elijah was doing. He heard the pity party. He knew exactly what was happening, but Elijah didn't. So God asked him the question so that Elijah would realize what he was doing. Well, I tell you, sometimes we get, I don't know if you do, I do. Maybe this is just my personal confession this morning on this message. If it is, well, you don't need to listen, but I have a hunch that maybe somebody else needs to listen too. We get so wrapped up in our own selves, and we get so worried about our own selves, and we get so weary, and we get so tired, and we get so frustrated, we don't even realize what we're doing. We forget who we are, and we forget what we're supposed to do. And so God asks us a question. Hey, what are you doing? Kevin, what are you doing, son? Pay attention here to what's going on. That's what he said. Elijah, what are you doing? It was sort of a eye-opening experience for Elijah. Sort of a self-awareness. I want you to understand. God knew, but he wanted Elijah to understand what was happening. And so he asked him the question, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know what? That's God's grace again. He could have just slapped him around and said, do you see what you're doing? I'm going to tell you what you're doing. But instead he said, Elijah, would you pay attention to what's happening here? There was God's grace and there was God's question, and then came God's commission in verses 15 and 17, and I'm not going to read those again because there's lots of hard names in there. God reminded Elijah that there was still work to be done, and by the way, he reminded Elijah that he still wanted to use Elijah. He said, listen, you need to go and anoint two new kings and one new prophet. There's work to be done. And I want you to do it. I still love you. And I've still got work for you. And I can still use you if you'll get up and quit worrying about all this other stuff and quit having the pity party. If you'll get up, I can use you. This is what I need you to do. There's work to be done. I can understand a little bit about what Elijah was feeling and thinking, and I think most Christians can. First of all, don't you think he was glad for the food and the water? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm tired. I'm weary. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate the food and the water. By the way, it was miraculous food. Did you catch that? He ate that twice and went on the strength of that food for 40 days. I think he was glad for the food and water. I'm not so sure he was so glad for the self-awareness check. The question, what are you doing here, Elijah? It was not a pretty picture. And when God asked him that question and God allowed him to see himself, he might not have been quite as grateful for that. I'm pretty sure he wasn't glad to hear that there was more work to do. Just the other day, it was one of those days when I was tired. Physically, I was tired. And I guess if I would have to tell the truth, I was a little tired emotionally. And I was a little tired spiritually. And I found out that there was something else that needed to be done. Something that I didn't normally do out of my regular area of responsibility. There was something else. And I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. I just wanted to quit. Now that's the truth. I didn't want to hear that there was more work to be done. I don't think Elijah wanted to hear that there was more work to be done. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the water. Not too crazy about the self-awareness, but don't tell me about more work to be done. God, what I want you to do right now is pat me on the back and tell me I did a good job and tell me to rest and take it easy. You'll use somebody else. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And what we want God to tell us is there is somebody else. I'll send them. You take it easy. I think that's what Elijah wanted to hear. I'm pretty sure that's what I want to hear. And I think if you're like me in any measure, there are times in your life when you just want God to say to you, good job. Rest. Sit down. You don't need to do anything. You have done your part. You can now spiritually retire from service. But you know what? God crafted us. God designed us. We are His workmanship for good works. And we are the most fulfilled and we are the happiest when we are doing good works. I like cars. And you take a car, old or new, doesn't make any difference, and you drive it home and you park it in the garage and you let it sit there, and it's not good for it. Seals will get hard. It'll start to leak oil. Gas will go bad. Batteries will go down. It's not good for it because it was designed to be driven. It's not good for us to sit down and do nothing. We think it is. We think, oh, if I could just rest. How many times you lay down and take a nap and woke up and felt worse than you did before you took the nap? We were created. We are God's workmanship. We're designed to do good works. So we're happiest when we're doing it. Finally, after all of that, came God's encouragement. Aren't you glad there's some encouragement? I'm thankful for grace. I'm not too crazy about the self-awareness check. Sometimes I'm really not crazy about the more work thing, but I'm always glad for God's encouragement. Look at verse 18. God said to Elijah, yet have I left me here 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. God told Elijah, listen, buddy, you're not the only one. I got 7,000 people over there in Israel, serving me, being faithful to me, being obedient to me. Some of them are doing exactly the same thing that you're doing, and they think they're the only one, but they're not. Would you pay attention to what Elijah did? Sometimes we feel, Sometimes we feel all alone, don't you? I do. Sometimes I know it's a little bit egotistical to say it, but I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one. I'm the only one. If I leave that church, Lord, it's going to die. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Come on. Yes, you do. I know you do. I want you to pay attention to what Elijah did. He left Mount Carmel. On Mount Carmel, there was victory. On Mount Carmel, there were people who had decided to follow God. They said, if God answers by fire, we'll serve Him. Well, God answered by fire, and they started serving Him. And Elijah left them. The Bible even says that he left his servant. He left the people of God, and then he said, I feel all alone. Don't you think God wanted to say, well, duh. Isn't that what we do? We begin to feel weary. Maybe there's pain. Maybe there's physical weariness. Maybe there's lack of results. Maybe there's aloneness feeling. Maybe it's something else, but we feel weary. So what do? We quit going to church. We leave the people of God. And then we complain to God that we're all alone. You know, He says, well, hey, bud, I got a whole congregation of people following me and serving me. Why don't you go join them? You wouldn't feel so alone if you'd go. Elijah left the people of God. Elijah left his servant who was a follower of God. And he said, I feel all alone. We mustn't make the same mistake that when you get weary, when you get tired, when you get frustrated, when you feel like you're the only one doing anything, come to the people of God. Fellowship with the people of God. Go to God. And you know what He'll tell you? Listen, son, daughter, I got lots of people all over the world who are serving me. You're not the only one. As a matter of fact, when God commissioned us to work, He promised to never leave us alone. Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You are never alone if you're a Christian. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Christian, we are crafted by God to do good works. I know you get weary, but keep going. Keep working. Keep doing. Keep being faithful. If we will not be weary in well-doing, we will reap. The time of reaping is coming. We've got all of eternity to rest and rejoice, and one lifetime to work. Would you stand with me this morning? Sherry, would you come play a song of invitation? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that God loves you. He died for you, gave His Son Jesus Christ on the cross. He will forgive all of your sins. He will give you peace and joy. He'll give you eternal life in heaven. But you must confess your sins. And you must ask Him to forgive you. And if you haven't done that, I hope that you will. Now, Christian, let us not be weary in well-doing. I know you get tired. I understand that you get tired. When you get tired, come to the people of God and come to God Himself. Come to the throne of God. And then He'll tell you, listen, I love you. Here's a little strength. Here's a little help. But guess what? There's more work to be done. We are crafted to do good works. If you have a need this morning, you come. We'll share a place. Father, could I just tell you this morning that when I act like a spoiled brat, and sometimes I do, I'm so glad you treat me with grace. Lord, would you remind every Christian in this room right now that you love us, that your grace and mercy are unending, that your power and your strength will never fail, that you will never leave us alone, but there is work to be done, and we were crafted to do it. So would you help us to stay busy, to stay faithful, to stay obedient. And if there's one here this morning, Lord, who is disobedient and will not confess their sins, I pray, God, that you'll touch them with your love and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and draw them to you. Do not give them comfort. Do not give them peace, God. Deal with them. Stir them. Draw them to you that they might soon be saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you all for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and adopt one of our youth. You're going to like this. I'm going to like it. I'm already trying to figure out which one I want. I don't know. Becky Jones, would you dismiss us, please?